Welcome to the College Baseball Nation podcast. This week, we're covering last weekend's games. We're looking at our brand new top 50, and we're making a projected field of 64. Let's talk college baseball. Kyle, welcome back to the podcast. How are you doing?
Doing well. I'm going on a honeymoon this week to Costa Rica, so I got that to look forward to this week. It's going to be a week long, but it means I'll miss a lot of college baseball.
Yeah, it's I get it with the pandemic. You had to like reschedule the honeymoon, but you know, we really have to talk about your commitment to this sport at some point, Kyle.
Well, I got vaccinated, so now I can baseball games and be a media member.
All right. That's something. But I mean, if you're really going to care more about your wife than college baseball, you know, I don't know if this is the right place for you. Just kidding. So I can't even get that sentence out without feeling guilty about it. So let's go ahead and hop into the recap of last weekend, because we have a lot on this podcast. We make a field of 64 later on, and we give you a little bit of insight into how we think about things. So hopefully you're going to enjoy that. That's going to be in the second half of the podcast. But before we get to that, tons of good college baseball. In news that I'm sure everyone has been looking forward to, I finally won a pick'em. So I was getting a little bit of a fear that I would never win a pick'em and that Kyle would just prove his dominance over me in predicting college baseball. But I finally got one right this week. And let's start with a series that neither of us got right. Let's go Oregon, Oregon State, because we both for sure had Oregon State winning this series. Oregon State had been off to a really hot start. And I mean, it was tough to ignore what Oregon had done sweeping at Santa Barbara. But
it was in Corvallis.
It just seemed like the easy pick of like, yeah, maybe these teams are, you know, at least similar levels. So let's go with, you know, both of us picked Oregon State, and Oregon took it to them. They shut Oregon State out in games one and games two. And I mean, that's a pretty good recipe for winning a series if you don't let your opponent score runs for the first two games. third game, Oregon State's bats kind of finally showed up. They hit a couple home runs and they got kind of a much needed win there to salvage the weekend a little bit. In game one, Oregon got to Kevin Abel, Oregon State's ace, who on the season has looked absolutely dominant. He's returned to form after Tommy John surgery. So found a point of weakness there. And all in all, in this non-conference series between these conference rivals, Oregon State got the upper hand.
Yeah, I saw some Oregon fans saying.
Oregon got the upper hand.
I saw some Oregon fans saying, we finally have baseball. we have everything else, but no, we finally collected baseball.
Well, I don't know if Oregon... it's fair. That's the thing about the series is that this is not a series you ever expect Oregon to win, right? In recent years, Oregon State has become the dominant force. And I think it's really setting up an interesting matchup in Eugene in a few weeks when Oregon State goes for their actual conference matchup. And, you know, maybe when it gets to it, we'll try to pick that one too. But Oregon shot into our top 50, which we'll get to in just a minute. But, I mean, hats off to the Ducks. And, you know, all of a sudden they've kind of put themselves in maybe not the driver's seat, but the passenger seat in the Pac-12 as one of the front runners.
Yeah, for sure.
So coming into the weekend, let's just pull the Band-Aid off. We also both picked South Carolina to beat Texas. You had it in sweep fashion. I thought Texas would win a game. And lo and behold, the Longhorns sweep South Carolina. So now all time against the Gamecocks, the Longhorns are 6-0. And that's probably a sore spot in South Carolina's mind.
Maybe that's pretty surprising.
Yeah, it's they've only played three games in Omaha and now three games here in Austin. South Carolina will get a shot at them next year. They've arranged the series as a home and home. So Texas will be going to South Carolina and playing a three-game series next year. But Texas looked the part. They lost all three games opening weekend at the College Baseball Showdown and have only lost twice since then and won all of their series since then and looked like a totally different team.
Yeah, I mean, the pitching was just like put together, it seemed like was the right word. Like they kind of were lost at the beginning of the year to against those other SEC West arm bats. But like Ty Madden looked pretty good. He had only five strikeouts, but only gave up three hits and one earned run in seven innings. So that's pretty solid.
He didn't have his best stuff, and he had those numbers. So that's saying something, right? Like he had a little bit of control issues with his slider and occasionally was leaving a fastball up, but managed to overcome that against a team that was batting over 300 coming into the weekend. So if you can get through seven innings against a team batting over 300, only giving up one run, that's you'll take that every day, right?
For sure, yes.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I don't know how much to blame the big ice storm at the beginning of the year, but that's something that Texas teams in general have did really poorly opening weekend. Both Tech and Texas went 0-3 at the College Baseball Showdown. A&M went 1-2 against Xavier. And since then, none of those three teams have lost a series. In fact, Texas Tech hasn't lost a game since then. A&M has lost just two games, and same with Texas. So, you know, a little bit of a slow start for some of those Texas teams, but things are turning around, and congrats to Texas for winning the series and sweeping, you know, not
proving us wrong.
Yeah. I love being proven wrong. I love watching these games thinking, you know, like, oh, here, Wes Clark and Andrew Eister are going to go and have, you know, three home runs apiece over the weekend and just light up Texas pitching. You know, I think that might not be quite as, you know, behind maybe Madden isn't quite as good as people think, and totally wrong there. Wes Clark did have one home run on the weekend, but I mean, ultimately it wasn't enough. And some South Carolina scored six runs in three games. So Texas pitching got the job done.
Yeah. And this makes me think that Texas is now the clear second best team in the Big 12.
Yeah. Especially with TCU still kind of struggling a little bit. And yeah, let's move on to another Big 12 team. So Oklahoma State hosted Vanderbilt this weekend, and it was nearly a disaster for Oklahoma State. The first two games, Vanderbilt absolutely dominated them. And this was one of the series I got right. I had Vanderbilt winning 2 out of 3 here, and Oklahoma State, fortunately for the Cowboys, showed up on game three and got a piece of this series. Kamar Rocker, Jack Leiter, I think combined their ERA is 0.25, something like that. Kumar Rocker hasn't given up a run. Leiter's given up one earned run on the year. Might be two, but he's got a sub one ERA. I mean, kind of like the Oregon story. If you have two absolute aces going out on Friday, Saturday, or if you shut them down in games one and two, that's series over. It pretty dominant performance. And to go with their game one and two great pitching performances, Vanderbilt also scored 18 runs on Oklahoma State in game two. So, you know, they're getting it done with the bats too.
Got some run support finally.
Yeah, I think one thing that I noticed watching those games, Robleski, Oklahoma State's starter, had a little bit of frustration in that game, and things got out of hand really quickly. I don't think that's the type of thing that, you know, I think he'll grow and learn from that. The umpire had a really tight zone, and I mean, him being a little bit of a finesse pitcher really leans on getting some of those corner calls. And once that wasn't going his way, that game got out of hand really quickly. But Oklahoma State's bats showed up for game three. And that's actually, I think, a kind of a sticking point for Vanderbilt. And it's something that I think is going to keep them. It's in my opinion, what kept us from putting them at number one this week is that I don't know if they have a number three starter right now. So on the year, their number three guy, Thomas Schultz, has a 6 ERA. They have true freshman Christian Little, who matriculated early and is, I think, still 17, might have turned 18 and I missed it. He's pitched a couple games in the midweek for them and has an over 6 ERA. They're going to need one of those two guys or someone else in the staff to step up, because, you know, two aces that they have in Rocker and Leiter are going to win a lot of series. But, you know, if they're going to win the College World Series, you have to have at least three pitchers to win the College World Series. You know, Michigan nearly did it basically with a trio of pitchers, and that's hard to do. You know, you really want more, but I don't know. I don't know who's going to fill that role. I think Schultz could come back in and right the ship there. I think Christian Little's probably too young. I don't know if he can throw enough innings for him to be a major contributor, but you know, the Commodores are going to have to figure that out.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that could be what puts Florida over, like end up having Florida over Vanderbilt at the end of the season. I remember we talked about before the season that, like, who would you rather have? Florida's like really talented, but not like super elite, like Rocker and Leiter, or would you rather have Rocker and Leiter and then kind of an unknown, but still talented? And I think we both said Florida just because of the super deep bullpen. And that's kind of what you need for like postseason play. But yeah, Vanderbilt is still obviously talented. They just got to figure that Sunday guy out.
And I have a feeling if you ask Tim Corbin, he's not going to complain about winning 2 out of 3 on the road at Oklahoma State. So, you know, good weekend for Vandy. Don't want to understate the fact that they went and really took it to a good team in Oklahoma State. Let's hop to the kind of a little bit of a surprise of the weekend. Louisiana was coming into the weekend with Southern Miss as a pretty hot team. They'd beaten Tulane in a series, and I think we're turning into kind of a darling that was moving, floating around 25 in our top 25. They go into Southern Miss and get swept. They end the series with a walk-off grand slam against them. I think Southern Miss has had a little bit of up and downs and not quite being able to be as dominant as you might want them in some of the games against some of the lesser opponents they've had on their schedule. But I mean, sweeping Louisiana, my mind puts them back at that front runner in Conference USA. Outside maybe bid for a top 16 seed down the road.
Yeah. Louisiana did not have a good week in the state of Mississippi. They lost at Mississippi State, which you might expect them to do in the midweek, and then got swept at Southern Miss, like we just talked about. So the Saturday game was a 1-0 game, but the one run was scored in like the first or second inning.
Bottom of the first.
Bottom of the first.
Yeah.
So it's one of those pitcher's duels that's like pretty boring, like doesn't have as much intensity. Still some, but not nearly as much as a 0-0 shutout or like 1-1 or something, you know?
Yeah, I'm a defender of pitcher's duels because I love pitcher's duels, but like I'm really frustrated by the pitcher's duels that are just decided in the first inning. Like I like it when it's, you know, tied 0-0 going into the fifth and sixth, and like there's a lot of intensity, but that game still had a lot of intensity and there were some pressure moments later on, but you know what, Southern Miss is going to take it, but it was a little bit unsatisfying for me, a neutral fan.
Coming into that weekend, that series all time was tied 15-15, and now Southern Miss is out ahead 18-15.
You know, that doesn't surprise me. Those are, you know, two teams with each a lot of history, and I have a feeling if you put them on the field again, Southern Miss probably couldn't sweep them again, but they did this weekend, and that's what's in the books. So
yep, that's all that matters.
Yeah, that's all that matters. Last but not least, Boston College and Louisville went head to head. Boston College. This is the one that Kyle got right. So, way to go. I'm getting really cocky having lost 3 out of 4 of these. Boston College had just come off a weekend series win at Auburn, a really wild weekend series win. And Louisville had just come off a weekend series loss at George Tech. So kind of teams heading in different directions, and they come out of this weekend heading different directions still. This time though, with Louisville getting the sweep, Louisville's heading up and Boston College is heading down. But I don't want to overplay this and say, you know, like Boston College in any given year should probably get swept by Louisville. And this year felt maybe a little different, that Boston College should be able to steal a game, but there's no big shame in getting swept at Louisville.
No, and there's no pressure here for the rest of the season. Like they still, there's no reason to panic. I mean, they still have plenty of games left on their schedule in the ACC to go over 500 in conference play. And they were really close to having a game, stealing a game too from Louisville on Sunday. The bullpen kind of fell apart in the bottom of the eighth, let up four runs, some two RBI triple, like just some kind of sloppy play. But they were up by two going into the bottom of the eighth. So they had a chance late in one in game to take it, to make it, to give that series to you and make you sweep those series. But yeah, don't panic, BC fans.
Yeah, I'm not ready to press the panic button on Boston College yet. Finally got on the board that this week. We're going to end up, we're in the podcast again, picking next week's game. So listen for that at the end of the podcast. I want to get to the top 50, but I want to touch on a topic right before we get to the top 50 that I don't know, Kyle, if you saw this, because it's one of those weird Monday morning midweek games where UConn and Texas Tech were finishing up their series. We spent more than enough time on the podcast talking about how UConn has a really, really rough non-conference schedule. And that concluded with four games at Texas Tech. They lost the first three. They were when extras, had a two-run lead in the 10th inning against Texas Tech. First batter up, bottom of the 10th, home run. Next guy up, home run. Next guy up, home run. Texas Tech walks it off with back-to-back-to-back home runs. I've never seen anything like that before. Absolutely ridiculous.
That's so sad. Yeah. Oh, man.
I mean, that's sad if you're a UConn fan. If you're a Tech fan, that's amazing.
Yeah. I was pulling for UConn to get one, maybe two.
Yeah. Texas Tech is breaking hearts, and you do not win games in Lubbock. Take a guess at it. I have it here in front of me, so I'm cheating. Do you know how long Tech's home winning streak is right now?
Just games or series?
Games. Individual games. They have the longest home.
20 or something?
Yeah. Texas Tech has won 23 straight games at home.
Wow. Yeah. Going back to maybe 2019 even.
Yeah, maybe so. I'm not sure about that. But maybe, yeah. I mean, it's right on that borderline between that. Might go all the way back. But they lead the country. Just fun fact, Wright State has won 22 games in a row at home. I would not have pegged that. And speaking of winning streaks, I forced you to do the trivia a couple weeks ago. So Navy still has the longest winning streak in the country at 18 games because they haven't played since we last talked about it. Southern Illinois did pass them, got 19 wins in a row before finally losing to Evansville. So the Salukis are now 14-1. In the top five, there's three teams from Texas right now that are top five current win streaks. Can you name any of them? Well, one of them is Texas Tech. So I'll just give that one because we just talked about how they've been winning a bunch of games.
I think A&M's got like 10 in a row.
Yep. Texas A&M is number three at 10. We have Arizona State's won 9 in a row without their whole pitching staff.
I wouldn't think Texas because they lost Houston.
Yeah. Baylor. Baylor's won 8 games in a row.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're turning things around after losing to UT Grand Valley in a series and losing 2 out of 3 in Round Rock, right? So they're turning a corner, maybe. All right, though. Let's move on to the top 50. So
we broke up a little bit there.
Oh, well, I wasn't saying anything important. I don't know if you were saying anything important.
I was not.
Perfect. Let's segue into the top 50. I'll run through the top 10, and then maybe we can pick out a team or two that we like outside that. Arkansas stays at number one. They finally get a loss, but they took 2 out of 3 on the road at Louisiana Tech. Nothing wrong about that. We already talked about Vanderbilt. They stay at number two. Mississippi State stays at number three. Mississippi State had 4 straight shutouts and got into the fourth inning of the fifth game before they finally had a run scored against them. That's like almost like 40 innings in a row of scoreless pitching up. Absolutely ridiculous.
That's nuts.
Yeah, Ole Miss number 4. We got the U, Miami at number 5, Louisville 6, Florida 7. We're moving East Carolina up to number 8, Georgia Tech number 9, and Texas Tech rounds out the top 10. Kyle, on the other 40 teams we have in here, any of them stand out to you?
I just know that in our spreadsheet, we have all of the italicized teams that are in there that lost. So there are a lot of losing teams that we had ranked this weekend, but probably mostly because they played each other. So you have like Oklahoma State going up one after losing a series just because everyone in front of them lost.
Yeah, it was a weird week. Like Boston College lost a series, TCU lost a series, UCLA, Oregon State, Virginia Tech. Like, yeah, just a lot of teams lost series that you had to put them, like, yeah, it felt weird moving Oklahoma State up after losing, but, you know, losing 2 out of 3 to Vanderbilt isn't the worst thing when you have teams losing, like TCU, 2 out of 3 to Gonzaga is at home. It's obviously a worse loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then South Carolina, we dropped from 17 to 30. Maybe it was a little harsh, but it was hard putting them above teams that we have continued to win. Like Alabama has just continued to win. They lost one game, I think, this weekend. But, yeah, like they're a team that they got swept on the road. Maybe we would have expected them to take one of those games. But actually, they lost all three of those games to Texas by exactly 3 runs, which is a little odd stat on the weekend.
Kind of an oddity there. Yeah, South Carolina is a weird team. I think, you know, with that offense they have and with the pitching staff, I think they're probably better than the 30th best team in the country. And we try to do some combination of looking back at resumes and looking ahead at where they're going to be. But looking back at their resume at this point, yeah, they just got swept by Texas, and the 2 wins against Clemson are looking worse and worse as Clemson just got swept over the weekend. So, I mean, South Carolina has plenty of room to make things up and get higher up in our rankings, and I have a feeling they probably will. But, you know, the resume is looking a little bit light right now.
And then Indiana State is one of the teams that is moving into the top 50. They're at number 40 from the Missouri Valley Conference. They beat this weekend for doing that.
Yeah, they took down Florida Atlantic in 2 out of 3 games.
Oh yeah, Florida Atlantic was a team that we had ranked. So that's pretty nice. Pretty nice series victory. And they're our team to win the Missouri Valley right now.
Yeah, we have, let's see, San Diego coming back in at 44. UNCW cracks the top 50 for the first time at number 45. 46, Old Dominion. 48, Florida Gulf Coast entering the first time. And then 50, Sacramento State. They scored 56 runs over the weekend in 4 games at Tarleton State. And boy, I think 2 of those either got run rule or they agreed to a 7-inning doubleheader. I can't remember. So they did that, not even a full 4 games worth of innings. They destroyed Tarleton State. Let's get into it. So in honor of Selection Sunday and Selection Monday in men's and women's college basketball, we're making our second projected field of 64 of the year. We already have our preseason 64 on the website, collegebaseball.info, but we've now seen a lot of teams play 15, 20 games, and it's time to put our skills to the test and see how we can make up a field of 64. So on this week's podcast, we're just going to run through our top 16 seeds, and we're going to kind of make it you guys see behind the thought process on this one. We're going to pick our top 16 seeds now. Then we're going to go through the bubble and find the teams that make it in and the teams that don't quite make the cut. And then off the air, we're going to pick some auto bids and put together the actual brackets. So Kyle, you ready to do this?
Let's get into it.
So, let's start at the top. I see no reason that Arkansas shouldn't be the number one overall seed in this. Do you have any disagreements?
No, I think that's part looking back and looking forward. We really like what they've done so far this year, what they look to do this year. They're pretty easily number one.
Yeah, I think the only team that could really challenge them for that is Vanderbilt. But for that reason, I'm fine having them at number two.
Yeah, that's fine with me too. I think one game might have changed that, and we've already talked about this in the podcast a little bit. But Vanderbilt, if they had swept Oklahoma State this weekend, that they might have ended up number one in this. But a lot of it's going to get played out in the SEC play coming forward, going forward.
Yeah. So, yeah. For sure. A lot of games to be played yet. So we're not trying to overthink things here too much, but 1-2, we got it done in about a minute. So we'll be done with this in lickety split. Number three. So this is where I think it gets tricky. So we have a lot of SEC teams right now in the top five, and I just think it's going to be hard for them all to rack up enough wins to stay the top. You know, we can't just have the top five seeds in the NCAA tournament be from the SEC. So I'm looking at the ACC champ here. My gut is to go with Miami for the ACC champ. How are you feeling about that?
I think, yeah, right now it's a toss-up between Miami and Louisville. Louisville had a pretty loud weekend over the weekend, sweeping BC. But I think it's a toss-up between Miami and Louisville right now as the winner of the ACC. So yeah. Miami is as good a guess as any.
Kind of funny how Georgia Tech laying an egg over the weekend, losing at home to Pitt, kind of knocked them out of the ACC front-runner race after kind of they staked their claim there by picking out Louisville. But Miami's lost one ACC series so far. They've proven that they can beat the big dogs, taking down Florida. So I like Miami 3 here. Number 4, do we want to go back to the SEC?
We have to.
So, I mean, if that's the case, I'm leaning Mississippi State because we already have one from the West, one from the East. I think that Mississippi State's pitching is absolutely ridiculous and is the type of thing that's really conducive to getting a high seed in the NCAA tournament and doing well. Any disagreements with Mississippi State at number 4?
No, I think the other SEC teams to include there to think about there would be Ole Miss and Florida. We really like, obviously we really liked Florida coming into the year. They were our preseason number 1 and they were the consensus preseason number 1. They're
not super well rounded, but unanimous. I think every single poll out there had them at number 1.
True. They're super well rounded. Their pitching is elite. They have several star offensive players, so I think, yeah, Mississippi State is a good pick. They have proved it so far this year by going 2 out of 3 at the College Baseball Showdown, and I think they have some good opportunities going forward.
All right, here it gets really tricky in my opinion. So our rankings would have us go with, let's see, we haven't gotten Ole Miss yet. We have number 4 in our rankings. We haven't gotten to Louisville at 6, Florida at 7. So you and I talked about this. Florida being at 7 is a product of their current resume, but I think both of us like them probably to do better throughout the rest of the year. So number 5 is a little bit of a tricky one. Who of those 3 teams you want to go with here at number 5?
I think Louisville's probably going to end up with 27 or more ACC wins, something like that. Something like they've done really well so far this year. If they end up with 27 or more ACC wins, which is possible, not likely, but it's possible, they would have to be highly considered here. I think with their elite electric offense, I think they're the pick here at 5, especially considering the fact that the SEC teams are going to beat up on each other. I don't know offhand if Ole Miss and Florida play, but some of these teams are going to get separated by just the fact that they play each other. So that they have like a easier data point there, but I think Louisville's a good pick. What do you think?
I think at 5, I'm between Louisville and Florida. I'm happy, I think, for now going with Louisville at number 5. Because we already have 3 SEC teams, and like you're saying, it's just not something the committee really does. So I think Louisville at 5, and now my gut then is to go Florida at 6.
Maybe Florida or Ole Miss there for me.
Yeah, I think either of them are good picks. I think down the road, looking down the road, well, so Ole Miss has to go to Florida to play 3 games. So they do end up playing each other. I would pick Florida in that series, and I don't know if a head-to-head will be enough there. I'm inclined to go Florida at 6.
Okay. Ole Miss right after.
Yeah, I think that's fair. We have now 5 SEC teams in our top 7. All right, yikes. So let's take a break from SEC teams, which I think this is a good time to take a break because we have, I think, 5 really clearly good SEC teams, and now there is a little bit of a gap. So a lot of choices at number 8. And obviously the 8 seed is a really important seed because if you win, you get a host all the way up until you get to Omaha. So there's a whole bunch of good options here. So we have East Carolina from the American, who's our favorite there, Texas Tech from the Big 12. We could go Arizona maybe as the Pac-12 champ. We can go dip into the ACC again. It's, you know, all-time deepest the league's ever been. So there's ACC teams to go pull from. So, I mean, I think, yeah, we're deciding there between 3 conference champs and another ACC team. Which direction are you leaning?
I think I'm leaning ECU, kind of the way we have it right now in our spreadsheet. I think ECU is, it's hard to pick against a team that's going to dominate their conference. We kind of already talked about this a little bit. We didn't expect there to be one dominant team. We kind of expected 4 American teams that were going to be in contention this year, but ECU seems like they're pulling away from the pack. We have to obviously start conference play here soon, but I think they're our clear conference champion, and I think they could be the best by far non-power team, I guess, is what we're trying to go for. What are those words there?
Non-power 5, and that's a word choice we reject in the world of college baseball because, you know, not power 5 in baseball or in football, maybe the American, but definitely a power conference in baseball.
I think Tech is a good choice, though, Texas Tech.
I think I'm leaning Tech, and not against East Carolina. They're 13-2. They've beaten everyone on their schedule. Besides, I guess the only team with a winning record against them is Old Dominion, who they lost 2 in extra innings in a midweek game. So that's, you know, kind of neither here nor there. Their biggest non-conference wins, I think, at the end of the year might end up being, so they're 2-0 against Duke, and they have 2 more games against North Carolina. I think kind of part of the narrow window of East Carolina getting a top 8 seed involves the American having non-conference wins. And I don't think the American has done well enough, especially like Tulane's been maybe not quite as advertised. UCF for sure has not been quite as advertised. I don't know if the American's conference RPI is going to be good enough unless East Carolina wins 45 games this year, which is just a really high bar. And that's nothing against East Carolina. I want them to have this 8 seed, but I think I feel more comfortable with Texas Tech at number 8.
I'm fine with that. ECU right after, though.
All right. Mine. Yeah, I think I'm happy ECU going 9 because when looking at the next couple teams, you know, that we mentioned, Georgia Tech and Arizona, I think that there's room for sure for East Carolina to get a better resume than those 2 teams. So we have, make it official, Texas Tech at number 8, East Carolina at number 9. So we're at number 10, Georgia Tech. I think it would be a good pick here. And Arizona could be the Pac-12 champ, and we could go ahead and put them here. Both of them have had some question marks on their resume. Arizona's had 2 weekends where they've gone 2-2 at home. Georgia Tech just lost a home series to Pitt, but I mean, it's kind of baseball and we're kind of outside the top few seeds where that's the sort of thing that maybe keeps you from being a top 2 or 3 seed, but you know, I think they're where they belong. So I'm fine either one here, maybe leaning towards Arizona because I think if they are a conference champ, it's going to be hard to keep them out of a.
I was about to say that. Yeah. I think that's probably the way I'd lean to, since we have them as a conference champ, but like, yeah, any of those in there are pretty similar in our minds, I think.
Do you want to do Georgia Tech 11?
Yeah, I think so. Let's do that.
All right, now we have, I think, maybe like 10 teams here that could make reasonable arguments for the last host bid. So I'm just looking through the rest of our top 16. There's LSU's in there, Oregon, Texas, Oklahoma State, Boston College, Arizona State, TCU, Notre Dame, Pitt, Long Beach. I don't know which direction you want to go with here at number 12.
I think Texas is the play here, probably. Pretty loud sweep at home against South Carolina, a team that we still do like. I think Texas will probably end up second or third in the Big 12. Their pitching is dominant. They just show that against a pretty offensive team this weekend.
Yeah, I think kind of inherent in this pick is that Texas would finish second in the Big 12. And, you know, as of what they've done so far this year, I don't think that's a bad pick. So I'm happy to have Texas at 12.
In case you're wondering, the record in the last 8 years or so for hosts is SEC with 7 in 2016.
And right now we're at 5 SEC hosts. We still haven't added another one since number 7 Ole Miss. So I definitely think there's a room for one more SEC host. And I think if I was going to pick one, it's going to be LSU.
Yeah. I think that's the only other host I would consider from the conference.
So do you think there's 6 SEC teams better than the second best Pac-12 team? I think the answer might be yes.
I think so too. Yeah.
So I think I'm inclined to go LSU 13.
I agree.
Oregon 14.
Yeah, other teams to consider here could be TCU if they turn around, potentially Notre Dame. They've done nothing but win since continuing from last year. Sweep of UNC. They're experienced. They're talented. But Arizona State is a team that we have ranked.
Talent, though, like Notre Dame's talent is not at the same level as a lot of teams in the ACC. And the reason why they're even in conversation is they've had 3 road series to start the year in the ACC and they've won them all. So including a sweep this last weekend. So like, I don't know. That feels like a team that maybe the wheels won't kind of fall off, but you know, there might be a loose nut on that train. And I would be a little reluctant having them as a top 16 seed right now.
Yeah. Especially if we're projecting here going forward, they can't possibly continue winning at this pace, right? But who knows?
Yeah, I think, I mean, a team that has talent that we had some question marks about whether they could put it all together and win is Boston College, and they have put together a pretty good resume. So I think if we wanted to pick another ACC team, Boston College probably would be my go-to there.
Yeah, so and then Oklahoma State's another one of those teams that they could end up right above or right around where TCU is. I think they have the arms and they have the bats to keep up with the talented arms and the rest of the Big 12. So I think
that's another thing to consider. They don't hit for average, but they can hit over the fences. And you know, like we saw over the weekend when they go up against the aces, that doesn't work. But I think against, you know, 90% of pitchers in the country, they're going to be able to hit some extra base hits and put some runs together. I don't think the Big 12 always gets 3 hosts, but I don't mind it this year. I think that Oklahoma State's a good option here. And I think my gut would be to go Oklahoma State 15, Boston College 16, and wrap things up there. I think some of the West Coast schools like Long Beach, which hasn't played a game yet, it's a little hard to put them in here, but you know, it's our favorite to win the Big West right now. I don't think they're going to quite have the resume without conference or without non-conference to get in here. I mean, Pitt, Notre Dame could end up in here. Maybe another Pac-12 team if the cards fall right. TCU, I think, could break in instead of Oklahoma State. But looking kind of at the next group of teams, there's no one I think obviously deserves it more than Oklahoma State and Boston College.
Yeah, I think you're right. The Big 12 has an average of two hosts over the last 10 years, three in 2019, and then two going back from there.
Yeah, a little bit of an anomaly, but not a huge one.
No, not too much. And if we like the talent, we said at one point this year we had eight of the nine Big 12 teams ranked, but it's before we learned something about each team. So that we liked at least the talent of each team, so of all those teams. So if they do well in that conference, then we have to consider them as potential hosts. I think what we have in the spreadsheet right now is good with Oklahoma State at 15 and BC at 16.
All right, let's run through it one more time. We have Arkansas number one, Vanderbilt two, three Miami, four Mississippi State, five Louisville, six Florida, seven Ole Miss, eight Texas Tech. That's the top eight seeds. They would be the ones to host both regionals and super regionals. Nine ECU, 10 Arizona, 11 Georgia Tech, 12 Texas, 13 LSU, 14 Oregon, 15 Oklahoma State, 16 Boston College. I feel pretty good about that list.
Me too. I like it.
All right. So I think there's some work to do in filling in two seeds, but at this point in the season, you know, we're not going to, you know, overthink those, but let's hop down to the bubble and let's work out the bubble a little bit. We're at a weird part in the year, obviously, where teams have played different amount of games. I think something that's helpful is that Big Ten play has kind of reaffirmed some of our thoughts on some of those teams. And you know, we're at the point where most teams that are going to be competitive for an at-large bid have played some games. So we have right now, I think 15 teams that we have in the conversation, in the bubble conversation, with seven of them, seven spots in the bracket. So one thing that's kind of important to note is the Ivy League won't have an auto bid this year because they aren't having a formal season. So that means there will be one additional at-large bid in the bracket. So, I mean, that's good news for those, you know, 500 teams that will be trying to scrap into the tournament. I think, you know, where the bubble it's easiest to start with is looking at total number of teams from each conference, because the record in any given year is 10 teams from a single conference. ACC and SEC have both done that. And I don't think that's going to go very easily above 11. So I think if we make the cutoff at 11 for those two conferences, that would, at least right now, have Auburn and Virginia as out. So that's going to be some things that we have to think about there. Maybe on the inside of that bubble in the ACC would be NC State is a team that we currently have in the in bucket. Texas A&M is a team that is also currently in the tournament, but might be somewhere near that 10-11 spot in the SEC. Big 12, we currently have four teams in our bracket with Baylor and Kansas State as out. So we'll see if either of those kind of make it a fighting chance to make it in. Pac-12, we have six teams in, which we started the year with four teams in. And I remember thinking at the beginning of the year, four felt like one too many because we just weren't really that sure. But Pac-12, it seems top heavy, and that's kind of playing out in non-conference play. So six teams, we'll have to figure out if that's just enough or too many. The American we have as a two-bid league, Big Ten with three bids, Big West two, Conference USA two, Missouri Valley two. With our current state of the things, all right, let's run through the bubble. We can get seven of these teams in. Let's start with our current order of ranking: Stanford, Michigan, NC State, Southern Illinois, Old Dominion, Ohio State, Houston, Auburn, Baylor, Kansas State, Virginia, Dallas Baptist, Florida Atlantic, Nebraska, and Louisiana. From that list, Kyle, who's the first team that you want in the tournament right now that you feel like is pretty much a lock from that group?
I think Michigan is pretty much a lock. I like their talent. They probably will be top two in their conference, which helps. I think they're pretty solidly in. I was going to say Stanford, but Michigan was sitting right there.
Yeah, I think it's a good pick. We have two teams in the Big Ten on the bubble right now. And even though they're not doing non-conference play, there's just no way that the Big Ten is a one-bid league. So I think that if we think the Michigan is the second-best team, they have to be a lock. So I think that's in. So six spots left to go. So my turn to pick a lock. To be honest, I already feel like we're kind of out of locks. Looking down this list, I think it's hard to ignore Stanford's start to the year. They have only lost two games at this point and are looking like a totally reformed team. I think their team batting average is up like 60 points over last year. They were a super young team last year and are trending in the right direction. We have them currently ranked as number 34 in our top 50, and that is in any given year normally more than good enough to make it in the tournament. So I'm going to call Stanford as a lock. I think it might be easier now to go the other direction. Are there teams maybe that we want to for sure eliminate from the bubble? Let's go in down to the bottom. I think I might start with Nebraska. So I don't think the Big Ten is very easily going to be a four-bid league unless it turns out to be really top-heavy. And Nebraska has already had a few losses to some lower down teams in the Big Ten. So at least as of right now, I think that I would have them as pretty solidly out.
I think I agree. I think they have a chance to play their way in, knock one of those other teams above them out. But at the moment, they've had a decent start. I mean, not just awful, like they didn't lose to Purdue or something, but they split with Iowa and Ohio State. I would have liked to see, if they were more of a bubble team, I would like to see them at least take like two from Iowa and then maybe one from Ohio State. But yeah, I think they're probably solidly out. Probably solidly out. It's real solid there.
And I think right now we have them below them. Louisiana, I think, is also out. They just got swept by Southern Miss. I think they could play their way in, but they're, I think, one game above 500 right now. I mean, you do some eye squinting and they win a series against TCU and, you know, maybe they're back on in the bubble or back in. But right now, I don't think we have them as making it in. All right. We're getting work done here. We have 11 teams and five spots left in the bracket. So six more to eliminate. You know what, looking back at this, I wanna save Southern Illinois. They're 14-1 right now. I don't know if they're gonna hold that up, but the Missouri Valley has a history of getting multiple teams in. They've got three in 2019, Indiana State, Illinois State, Dallas Baptist. And at 14-1 and from a conference has history of getting multiple bids, like you can't ignore that right now. So I'm gonna put Southern Illinois as in the tournament right now.
Yeah, I just don't know if they have enough. They'll have enough of a resume to get in if they don't win their conference. But is the Missouri Valley a tournament play-in or a?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, if they lose their conference tournament somewhere in there, I don't know if they'll have enough. But I like them to win this tournament right now. They're my would be my team to win the conference, but.
I have Indiana State over them right now.
Oh, you do? So you think they have enough of a resume?
Yeah. So Indiana State at this point is 9-5. So obviously the record's not quite there. They took 1 out of 3 against Pitt on a neutral site. They took 2 out of 4 at Tennessee. They swept at Florida International and they took 2 out of 3 at Florida Atlantic, took 1 at Florida Gulf Coast. So Indiana State actually has a pretty solid at large resume. And I think that I would have them as the favorite in the Missouri Valley if I had to choose one right now. Obviously we're not talking about Dallas Baptist in this conversation, and that's because they've lost quite a few home games, including this most recent weekend. Mm-hmm. So we could just sort of throw all this to the wind and say, we still think Dallas Baptist is probably the best team in here, even if they aren't looking like it right now. But at the very least, I would feel kind of bad not putting a 14-1 team in the tournament. They're currently at 26 in the RPI, but the RPI is somewhat meaningless. Southern Illinois swept at Mercer, swept Tennessee Martin, took 3 out of 4 against Evansville. There's really nothing on their schedule that stands out as a overwhelmingly good RPI win. Looking back, or even opportunities looking forward, besides 4 games at Indiana State. They have a few pretty bad RPI looking teams coming up, but nothing really super egregious. I think they're going to have to win a lot of games to make it in as an at-large team. So
what's interesting with Southern Illinois, though, is that they are 6th in the country in team batting average, 5th in slugging percentage, 16th in on-base percentage, and that's buoyed by some home runs, not a lot of walks. But yeah, they have the offense. I just want to see if they have the pitching.
I know going into this last weekend, they were leading the country in home runs. I don't know if that's still true, but yeah, they're
not still true, but still close.
They're a slug happy team. So I guess, all right, let's lay the hammer down here. Is Missouri Valley at this point a multi-bid league, or do we knock Southern Illinois out?
I think 2 at most. So Southern Illinois can be in.
Dallas Baptist or Southern Illinois?
Southern Illinois as of now.
All right. I like it. I think they're 14-1. Like, obviously they're not going to keep up that pace, but this is a projection. Like, we're going to get some things wrong. And if we're going to give credit to a team that's won 14 out of 15 games this year, like, I'm fine. Like, so be it.
Yeah, I like that. The other things that I like about Dallas Baptist is that they won the games against Missouri, which is, I mean, I know they're like one of those power conference teams, and Dallas Baptist is a mid-major, but so like that, even still, that's still a really good couple wins that they had there. And they also beat OU. That's a fun victory at the Frisco Classic.
Yeah, but OU's 8-7 and Missouri's like 6-10 or something.
Yeah, but Missouri's RPI will get bumped up, which will bump up
a little bit. Dallas Baptist definitely has better RPI wins, regardless of how good Missouri is. For instance, right. Their RPI.
Which is why RPI is garbage.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know what? Let's leave Southern Illinois in for now and move on. Because we still have a lot of teams here on the bubble that we got to figure out. So NC State, I think, is a tricky one. They have a losing record right now, but they've also been in a COVID pause, and I don't think they're going to have a losing record at the end of the year. I think they're a team that we thought was a top 25 team coming into the year. This would mostly be on projection moving forward, not on resume, keeping them in, but that's where I have them in right now. What do you think?
I agree. Yeah. Just on projection, kind of going forward throughout the year. I think they're close for sure. Like, lose another conference series and then they're going to be sweating it. But yeah, they're right up there with, or right down there, I guess, with Virginia. That's kind of the next team in the ACC that we have just out, but we can talk about that now if you'd like.
Yeah, Virginia is a team that I think has to be out. They have a losing record. I don't know. It's a team I think I had in my Omaha 8 at the beginning of the year. So I don't feel great knocking them out at this stage. But at 7-8, I mean, you can't be super happy about that. They took 2 out of 3 against UConn. They lost 2 out of 3 in North Carolina. They lost 2 out of 3 at Florida State, and they just got swept at home by Notre Dame. I mean, you're 2-7 in the ACC. You're not a tournament team right now. If I had to bet money on it, it forced me to. I'm going to guess they make it in by the end of the year, but that might just be my preseason bias still. And, you know, they might be just kind of a year away from being a super competitive team. So I'm happy having them out right now. I want to talk about Old Dominion, because that's a team that I'm pretty stoked about. Old Dominion is 12-3, and it's like a pretty solid 12-3. They won at East Carolina in a midweek. They just swept Ball State, Ball State's actually had some good wins. They beat Ball State, beat Arizona twice, and Tennessee. no, Kentucky 2 out of 3. In the meaningless, but even more so meaningless RPI, the Old Dominion's top 50 right now. And looking ahead, the Conference USA is actually, I think, looking like a pretty solid, I mean, it's typically a solid conference, but teams like FAU and Charlotte and even Rice is looking a little bit better this year. Louisiana Tech, like there's enough games, I think, on their schedule that Old Dominion actually has a path forward as an at-large team.
And in the Warren Nolan live, or ELO ranking, I guess, they're 35th in that, so that's kind of nice. Nice to have that boost.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's leave them in. So Two teams left. I think that we only have 2 Big Ten teams. My gut is that another one's going to make it in, so that's where I'm looking at Ohio State. But maybe not. And then we have only 1 American team in, which, again, that's always a multi-bid conference. So that's why my next go-to would be Houston. So I have Ohio State and Houston in. But that would be then leaving out Baylor, Auburn, and Kansas State. So are there any teams from that group of 3 that you want to save and bring into the bracket right now?
No, I think those 2 are good. We do like some of these teams in the top of the Big Ten, and there's like a kind of a clear top 6 in the Big Ten that are above the rest. So if they can get out far enough above the rest, then there could be even a more defined line, like we have Michigan and Indiana in. But I think Ohio State could be that 3rd team, could be Iowa. Could be Maryland still. Maryland didn't have a good first weekend, but like there's some talent on those teams that we like. Ohio State has started off decently. I don't like their split with Iowa and Nebraska, but beating Illinois 3 out of 4 was pretty good too. So I don't know.
Am I hearing that? I get the go-ahead to keep Ohio State in, or is that you're now not feeling so sure about it?
Now I'm not feeling so sure about it. I would maybe lean Auburn here, but like leave Houston in Auburn. I don't know.
I don't think the entire SEC West can make it in. I don't think there's enough wins to get around there.
That's fair. Okay. Yeah. I think that's some projection, but I think Ohio State would be a clear third best team in the Big Ten.
All right, let's lock it in. So off the air now, we're going to go through and pick out automatic bids. We're going to go through and flesh out some of the 2 seeds. And we're going to get a field of 64 posted up on the website. So by the time you're listening to this, we'll probably have our field of 64 posted. So this weekend, we get SEC play starting up, Pac-12 play starting up. We have some Big 12 play starting up. There are so many good series to choose from this weekend for our pick'em. So let's find our 5 favorites. Kyle, I can't remember if you went first or if I went first last time.
You went first, so it's my turn.
All right, give me the series that you want me to pick.
All right, I want you to pick a tough or an easy one first so that I can take some of these tough ones. I've determined the strategy. None of these are easy, though, because it's conference play and all these series look pretty fun. Let's go with Alabama at Arkansas. I don't know if we've picked a series with Arkansas in it yet, so let's do that.
Yeah, we haven't. I don't think we've picked a series with either of these teams.
At bomb for opening SEC play, that's pretty fun.
Yeah, I can't remember if capacity is at 50% in Arkansas now. I don't remember what they're doing, but there's going to be enough fans there that it's going to make a difference. My gut is to say Arkansas sweeps, but the person in me trying to like hedge my bets and is trying to figure out what the best strategy here is. You know what? I don't want to take this one too much. I'm saying Arkansas wins all 3 games.
Wow. kind of surprising. Then I'm taking Arkansas, takes 2 out of 3. That's a pretty easy pick right there.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll have the all Razorback Nation on my side, so that's
more. Yeah, than I'm just going for, I don't know, since I can't take Arkansas to sweep, I think 2 out of 3 is the next best thing for me there. And I didn't want you to pick some of these other tough series, or I wanted you to pick some of the other tough series first so that I can, you know, I got the strategy down.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to explain the strategy again, Kyle. I believe you. So yeah, I'm inclined to, I mean, we need at least one more SEC series, I think, because there's a couple more good ones. And there's a few teams here that we haven't picked yet, really. We just did South Carolina and Vanderbilt this last weekend, and we got both of them. So I'm not going to do that one, I don't think. I'm going to go with another road underdog on the road. Let's do Texas A&M at Florida.
All right. So A&M is coming off of a really good offensive week. They scored 20 runs twice, once against Prairie View in a 7-inning shortened game. They had a shutout in the week. Their pitching is coming into form. Dustin Sines on Friday night went 8 scoreless innings, I think, maybe 8 innings with one run, something like that. I really like the pitchers rounding into form for A&M, but it's at Florida. Florida's pretty talented, obviously. How has Florida been doing lately?
They took 2 out of 3 last weekend against Jacksonville State. I always get all the Jack State mixed up.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, they've done pretty well. I'm going to go – the Aggie in me wants to take A&M 2 out of 3, but I think I just can't justify it at this point. I'm going to go Florida 2 out of 3.
Yeah, you give me a really tough choice then. I don't – like I that's right where I was at. I don't know if Florida can sweep them. I don't know if A&M can win, but
I think – you could say 1-1-1. There's a – yeah. A tie.
I want to predict, yeah, they have like a 19-inning game that A&M has to travel back on, so they get a tie. No, I'm going to say A&M wins 2 out of 3, if that's
all right.
The only other option.
It's the only other option.
I mean, yeah.
All right. Could be bold to A&M sweeps.
Yeah, that would be interesting. You know, that would be forcing us to reassess some preconceived notions that we had about A&M.
I think they're coming in hot at the right time.
They're an interesting team. I think if you hadn't had that 1-2 start against Xavier and just looked at their next games after that, they've had some offensive issues, but not as many for sure as that opening weekend. They're starting pitching a settle down. Like, I think they would be a top 25 team if you ignore that opening weekend, which you can't. It's on their resume, but you can make some pretty good rationalizations for why that happened. So,
yeah, I mean, their pitching is doing much better lately for sure. They're striking out like crazy. They're third in the country in strikeouts per 9 innings. They're also pretty good at drawing walks. They're first in the country in walks drawn.
Yeah, you're convincing me more. I'm going 2 out of 3 in it.
I'm happy with your pick. I'm happy with my pick.
All right. You're next up. Give me the next one.
All right. So I think that's enough on the SEC. We have some other good ones elsewhere in the country. Ooh, let's do Florida State at Miami.
Yeah, it's a fun one.
Rivalry series.
Florida State, you know, Miami wins 2 out of 3.
Miami 2 out of 3, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to give Miami home field advantage coming off a pretty good weekend. This one feels like a coin flip. The Miami goes the way of their pitching staff and with a couple of young guys in that staff. You know, maybe actually the Miami offense has enough pieces in it that they can just outslug Florida State in all of these. But I'm reluctant to call for a sweep here because of lack of consistency from Miami's pitching.
I get that. It's tough. I might say Florida State 2 out of 3. It's a little bold.
I like it.
I'm just confirming one thing.
The more bold you are, the better I do on average. I think last week you were talking about how bold you were. So
yeah.
That was my first win. So, you know, you can go even bolder if you want.
I'm going to go Florida State 2 out of 3. I think if that way, if Florida State does end up sweeping, then I still get that one because I picked the right winner. I think that's the rule we decided.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the rule is somewhat arbitrary, but
yeah.
We'll go with that. If you pick the winner, you can get credit for the series. So, all right, then. So we've got 3 of our 5. So let's see. I want to get one Pac-12 series in. I'm debating between a couple. Let's do Arizona at UCLA. Yeah, this one's tough.
It is tough. It's just 3 games, right?
Yep, Pac-12, just doing regular.
Okay. I'm going to go Arizona 2 out of 3.
Yeah, I think that's what I would have picked. But, you know, with our rules. So, I mean, UCLA's already lost a home series to San Francisco. They just lost at Cal Poly 2 out of 3, which is like that Cal Poly team might actually be secretly the dark horse to win the Big West. So not a terrible loss, but then they've only had, what, like 4 weekends, had 2 losing weekends. With all that said, I don't think Arizona sweeps, even though they did go 4-0 in Briscoe. You know what? Before I think about it too much, UCLA wins 2 out of 3.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay,
so we're on the opposite side of some of these.
Yeah, this is good. This makes the graphic prettier.
I could tag more teams.
Yeah. All right, let's finish things off.
All right. You know, to round it out, we got 2 SEC, a Pac-12, and ACC. Let's do Oklahoma State at Texas Tech.
All right. We just talked about how Texas Tech hasn't lost in like 3 years at home or whatever. So Texas
Tech, it was 2019. I looked it up.
So
it's late 2019.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Was it the super regional where Oklahoma State took 1 out of 3 at Texas Tech? I know Oklahoma State won a game.
Yeah. That's what it was. But I was thinking, I didn't even look at that. I looked at just regular season, but yeah, you're right. That would have counted.
Oh, that changes my mind, actually. So the last team to beat Texas Tech in Lubbock was Oklahoma State.
Yeah, just once.
All right, Texas Tech wins 2 out of 3. They're losing another one this weekend, but they still get the series.
2 out of 3, okay. Yeah, I just like Tech's offense a little too much. I'm going to go Tech to sweep.
I almost picked them to sweep, but...
And I do like Oklahoma State. I just their offense is a little bit worrisome after this weekend. I mean, I know they turned it around in game 3, but
you picked Vanderbilt to sweep them too, right?
I picked Vanderbilt to sweep Oklahoma State, so this is a good sign for you, but yeah, not a good sign for our friend at 10-12 Pod.
Yeah, I think you can officially just say you're anti-Oklahoma State. Come on, go ahead and say it.
I just love their stadium so much. I don't know. I want to be friends with them, but I can't pick them to win the series at this point. They can prove me wrong.
All right. Well, that's our pick'em. So I think there's a 5 pretty good series there. And let's here's to hoping that I get the best of you in back-to-back weeks. Start a winning streak.
Your picks are dumb, so I think I'll win.
Eloquently said. that's all we have this week for the College Baseball Nation podcast. If you haven't already, we would super appreciate it if you left a review on iTunes. The magical algorithm that helps our podcast become popular is heavily dependent upon it. If you listen to podcasts before, you've probably heard this plea. So go ahead and do it. It takes like 30 seconds. We really appreciate it. If you have any questions for us or want to contact us, we're on social media at collegeballnat. We're on Instagram and Twitter. Love hearing from fans. But besides that, everybody have a good week. Watch a bunch of college baseball, and we'll see you next week.